Now, Alex Halberstadt is a writer I really love to read because he's the kind of writer who can take things I don't think I'm interested in and make them totally fascinating. And so when he wrote a story recently for Saveur about butter, which, you know, I am inherently interested in, I sat down with it right away. And it was a little heartbreaking, honestly, because the best butter he found cost $50 a pound, meaning it will never see my refrigerator. But I knew I wanted to talk with him about what makes great butter great. Alex, thanks so much for coming in.
Great to be here, Francis.
So, Alex, you wrote a story about phenomenal, unique butters. And I have to ask, what makes a great butter great?
Well, I think throughout human history, we've had a pretty awesome relationship with butter. I mean, the human race has held butter in really, really high regard. If you think about it, you know, the Tibetans still make sacred sculptures out of butter. The ancient Scandinavians used to be buried with barrels of butter in their coffin. Hmm. And I think that's because people saw butter as something almost miraculous. And I think we've largely forgotten that. Hmm. Because honestly, I don't think anybody wants to be buried with a stick of Land O'Lakes. I think one thing for me that makes butter worth thinking about is that it's not cheese or pastry. It's not made. Hmm. You can only do so much. Really, you have a cow and it gives you cream and then you make butter out of it essentially by beating up the cream. There's not all that much to it. So it's essentially kind of a pure presentation of the animal and the land that it comes from and the person who makes it. But as with wine, there's not that much intervention.
What does great butter taste like to you?
Well, I think there's this great, creamy, sweet opening. And then, especially with cultured butter, you get this great, tangy, sour note in the middle. Then there's this long finish that sometimes reminds me of hazelnuts. Hmm. It's just, it's very complete and really fun and just incredibly delicious.
And you spent time with a renowned butter maker for your story. Her name is Diane St. Clair, right?
I did. In November, I went to Vermont to a little town called Orwell, which is on the western side of the state where she has her dairy farm. And it was basically, you know, I just remember driving for what seemed like half an hour down a service road and finally seeing her house. And it was pelting rain. And I remember her coming out wearing rubber boots, dressed like a New England farmer, and taking me into her barn. And there were 11 Jersey cows. And basically, we spent most of that day ankle deep in mud, trudging around her pasture in her barn, in the little creamery that she has right off the barn. And we talked about butter and made some butter and tasted some butter. But my sense of Diane was that she was a true believer. It was really like spending a time with somebody who cares about this one aspect of their life so deeply that she spends all of her time with her animals. These 11 Jersey cows for her, I think, are more like children than livestock. She spends more time caring for them, feeding them, milking them, petting them, talking to them than anyone I've ever seen. It was really like watching somebody with 11 very large dogs.
So, but what makes her butter fantastic? Is there like a move she does when she churns it? Is there a technique? Is there a culture she uses? Like, what is it that makes her butter great?
Well, I asked her that same question because, you know, what's your trick? And I think what she told me is that there is no trick. That the trick is getting the very best cream you can. Because once you have the cream, there's not all that much you can do with it. Hmm. Culturing butter is essentially just letting the cream ferment a little bit, letting it go a little bit sour to give it a little bit more flavor. And she does do that, and then she uses a small mixer to churn the butter. But mostly it is the animals. It is the Jersey cows, which are these light brown cows. They're not very popular with most large commercial butter makers because they don't give as much milk as the Holsteins, which are the cows we know from children's books, the black and white spotted cows, which are much more productive. They give a lot more milk, but the milk isn't quite as rich. Mm. And Diane explained to me that the dandelion yellow color of her butter is also the result of the Jersey cows. They give a darker cream, which creates a darker colored butter. And several other butter makers also use Jerseys because they just claim it gives a sort of a richer cream than the Holsteins do. But of course, that's just a tiny part of the equation. I think she is fanatical about the feed that she gives to her cows. In the spring, the cows eat grass in the pasture. In the winter and late fall months, they eat hay. She doesn't give them silage, which is fermented hay, which a lot of farmers feed their cows in the winters. But I think it's just the attention that she gives to these animals. You know, they seemed so well looked after, so cared about, so thought about. And I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm not trying to suggest that happy cows give incredible butter. But there isn't any trick. There isn't any butter-making technique that I witnessed. Her creamery is about the size of a large bathroom. It's got an industrial refrigerator in it and a sink and a mixer and some thermometers. There's really nothing. There's no magical laboratory. She cares a lot for the land. She cares a lot for her cows. And maybe she was being coy. I don't rule that out. Diane struck me as a very ambitious person in a lot of ways, by which I mean artistically ambitious, not commercially ambitious. I think if she wanted to make a lot more money and, you know, get another 100 jerseys, she probably could. But this is how she likes to do it. I think her operation is pretty much her.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of farm hands that I saw. I think she likes to kind of do this by herself. And she's very adamant that, like a winemaker, she says that the only thing that makes great butter is great cream, great ingredients.
She sounds really, really fascinating.
She is. And her butter is, it's definitely the most intense I've ever tasted. It's a little unusual. It has almost the consistency of vanilla ice cream rather than this kind of dense block that we're used to.
Yeah.
But it is the most flavorful butter I've ever tasted. And I could totally see why somebody would plunk down $50 for a bag of it, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Alex.
My pleasure, Francis.
Great to see you.
Alex Halberstadt is the author of Lonely Avenue and writes for the New York Times Magazine, Travel and Leisure, and Saveur. You can find his story on butter at saveur.com.